one American at a time.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Hi, neighbors. First, I want to remind you that Paracast is brought to you this week by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 85,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/Paracast. This week on the Paracast, we present Jerome Clark, UFO researcher, historian, has been around for a number of years and has always fascinating insights, and later on he'll be answering your questions. I wanted to get into the show right away because of some of the things that have happened this week, and I wondered if, Jerry, you've ever considered the issues about life and death and whether people who are about to die kind of get the sense, even if they're not ill, that's almost coming to an end. Have you ever heard that in your experience?
Well, I think we all have. You know, I have no special authority on that subject, but yes, you know,
I'm not either.
Happens.
But, a little premonition action.
Yeah. I think about this, for example, before my father died in 1988 on September 9th. That was my birthday. And he calls me the night before and he says, you know, are you doing okay and everything? And he spent more time to reassure himself that I was all right. And then he never spent that much time on the phone with me, and the next day he died. Now, as far as I knew, he wasn't ill. He just was playing cards with his friends, and he was suddenly seized with a heart attack.
Wow.
And he was out. But it's as if he knew the day before that the end was near, and he just wanted to make peace and make sure everybody in his family was okay.
Wow.
Yeah, that happens. I remember one time getting a call from somebody who just called to talk. I was sort of surprised that he called me. We chatted for some time, and I said, well, I'll talk to you again. And I never did because he died soon thereafter. And thinking about it later, I realized that he knew he was dying. He was calling me just one last time. And, yeah, those things happen.
Here's one for you. Believe it or not, I was reconnected with my biological family after 41 years. And I'd been adopted with my three younger siblings. Brother Brennan and I grew up in the same adoptive family. And then my youngest two brothers grew up in the same adoptive family. And in 2001, we were reunited. I had a wonderful 2 years of getting to know my mom. It was quite a stunning phone call when they found me via the Internet and the family reunion site that I'd registered on. They'd been looking for me for decades, and my brothers. Yeah, my girlfriend answered the phone, and her eyes got real wide, and she covered the phone up. And she said, there's some lady on the phone. Her name is Eva, and she says she's your mommy. And I was like, oh, my God. Sure enough, I reconnected within a week and a half. My mom and my cousin had flown out, and we'd reconnected. And it was great. I finally, you know, got a chance to sort of reconcile her life for her. And we had a big family reunion, the four brothers and her, at my brother's house in Washington State. We spent a wonderful 5 days together, you know, just before Christmas. Right after we left, she went into the hospital. She had very bad asthma and emphysema. And I call her up on Christmas Day. I had a little party over at my house when I was out back east for a couple of years. And I called her up, and I wished her, you know, happy Merry Christmas and all that. And then I got a call back from her, I don't know, probably about an hour or so later. And had this wonderful, heartfelt, you know, short little conversation with her and how her life had been complete. And she was so happy her boys were doing good. And then 3 or 4 minutes later, I got a call from the hospital saying your mother hung up the phone evidently and died. So I literally, within seconds.
Wow.
Very strange. And of course, you know, she dies on Christmas Day. You know, it kind of reminded me of Gene saying that his father died on his birthday. It's kind of like hard to forget that day. But, yeah, these things do happen. It's human consciousness, I think, as I'm sure both you will agree, is quite an amazing mystery. We really don't know that much. Science really doesn't know how we can look at our hand and then create an impulse to close it, let's say, or take a step. It's a very interesting subject. Not enough work, I think, is being done really trying to get to the bottom of the enigma of human consciousness. And then, of course, the tie-in between consciousness and the paranormal and UFOs and, you know, these wonderful mysteries that the Paracast covers all the time. I figured I didn't want to, like, play it. I could top that, but I literally talked to my mother just seconds before she hung up the phone and died. So
it's an incredible experience.
Well, yeah. You know, the reason I raise it is because this week, of course, Steve Jobs, an icon in American industry compared to a Thomas Edison or Walt Disney, probably more closer to a Walt Disney, died. And it's interesting when he died, because we know he had been ill. He had pancreatic cancer in 2004. He had a liver transplant in 2009, taking an extended sick leave. And then, of course, he must have known the end was near, because just last month he stepped down as the CEO of Apple. And Tim Cook, who had been the operations officer and temporary CEO, replaced him. But now we have, this week, Apple introduces their new iPhone. And Tim Cook...
artificial intelligence.
with Siri, which is a personal digital assistant, like putting Hal in your cell phone. Now, what's interesting here is that Jobs was not in attendance, obviously. Tim Cook ran the show, just like Steve Jobs would have done a few months earlier. And then the next day, Jobs died, almost as if to say, well, I see the company is in good hands. I don't have to hold on any longer. Goodbye.
Well, maybe they somehow figured out a way to get his consciousness into some big mainframe or something.
You think it's in my iPhone? Let me look. Steve, are you in there? Earth to Steve. Engage. No, got to try out that personal digital assistant. That's why the reason I brought that over. And also, I think it's time, you know, we like to try to talk and get to know the people who come on the Paracast and all the things they have to say that extend beyond the normal range of our discussions. And certainly we'll go back right now pretty much to the areas where Jerry Clark has covered for so many years, UFOs, and of course he's been on the show several times. And I wanted to get into maybe the changes in the UFO field. I mean, over the years we've had the fakes, the frauds, the phonies, the tabloid journalism. So, Jerry, when you heard, for example, this thing over Phil Imbrogno, that his credentials were fake, all that stuff, did you know him?
No. My communication with Phil Imbrogno over the years was somewhere between non-existent and extremely slight. In fact, I don't even remember a contact with him. And I was sorry to hear that. I'm always sorry when you hear things like that, and they happen not just in ufology, obviously, but in all areas of human experience. And you just feel sad that someone felt that he couldn't make it on his own and he had to invent credentials that he didn't really need. And in the end, all of us are judged by our accomplishments, you know, not anything else. And it's just sort of sad.
It gives, you know, the naysayers more ammunition.
Well, they always have something. I mean, that no matter what happens, you know, we're not going to win with them. They're just, you know, out to discredit us and destroy the whole enterprise. So I don't worry about that. I just think of it more in human terms. And I thought this guy probably, Phil Imbrogno, is probably not a bad guy. He just did something incredibly dumb for reasons only known to himself.
Right.
Well, I mean, obviously we don't want to get into the more sordid aspects of that, because I've heard other stories and I don't want to get into it. But the point being, of course, that he casts disrespect on everyone in the field when he does stuff like that. And that's
I think that's probably reading too much into it. I think that it's just one of those things. You know, it's not just ufology in which this sort of thing happens. People's inflated credentials are all over the landscape. I mean, it's actually a national, international problem. But one thing I don't understand is why people do it, because it's so easy to find out if they're lying or not these days. And it's just, you know, in fact, when you mention it, I just hadn't even thought about it. I'd completely forgotten about it. I don't think it's really a big issue.
Yeah. Well, it boils down to deep-seated insecurity and worthiness issues on the part of these people.
Exactly.
To do that. And it's unfortunate because, you know, I always had a sense that that there was something kind of amiss with the presentation of some of his material, but I did look up to him because I did feel that he was the kind of person that was getting out in the field and attempting to do good field research. But now, because of that very unfortunate Todry affair, now you have to call into question every single thing that he published. And
yes, you do.
We have Jerome Clark joining us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
As you know, the Paracast is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 85,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. For our listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service, such as Leslie Kane's UFOs, Generals, Pilots, and Government Officials Go on the Record. For that free audiobook, go to audiblepodcast.com/paracast. That's audiblepodcast.com/paracast. Neighbors, do you need to bring the final touches to your latest podcasts? Clean up the soundtrack of that holiday video. Mix together a few takes from your last jamming session. Process the audio files of the video game you're creating to sound just right. Well, look no further. Whatever audio-related task you're looking to perform, Amadeus Pro is the tool for you. It's the Swiss Army knife of sound editing. Go to HairerSoft.com, HairerSoft.com.
Hello again, I hope all is well. This is John Swenson at Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 128. We are sourced for gold and silver. Not much has changed since we last spoke. The economy remains in the tank. Unemployment is a national disaster, and there's zero leadership in Washington. Experts tell us that the stock market is headed towards 7,000. The deficit will continue to climb. Still, gold is expected to go to 2,000 by the first quarter. That'd put silver back nearing 50 bucks. Frankly, Scarlett, there are no solid options available beyond precious metals. Please give me a call, John Swenson, 800-686-2237, extension 128, for an informative, no-pressure conversation. John Swenson, 800-686-2237, extension 128, and I look forward to hearing from you.
Still ready to save? Then you're ready for the fall super sale at HerbalHealer.com. HerbalHealer.com has been the leader in quality natural supplements since 1988. Log on to HerbalHealer.com and take advantage of incredible fall savings on all sale products running through October 18th. HerbalHealer.com is proud to offer eFoods Global products, premium storable foods that are delicious, contain no MSG, no trans fats, no GMO, and have a 25-year shelf life. All you do is just add water. To learn more, click the eFoods link on HerbalHealer.com, and you can try eFoods storable meals for free. And don't forget to click the specials link for even more savings at HerbalHealer.com. Be sure to sign up for our free newsletter. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time. Hurry, sale ends October 18th.
You can't argue with success. And many people have found great success in fighting back colds and flu viruses with Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. So now, it's time to get even more success with the other great quality natural products from Affinity Health Products. Like C-Energy Liquid Vitamins, Lose and Snooze, and the One Day Diet. Or Human Growth Hormone Support, Menopause Specialist for Women, and Joint Specialist. See these and many other quality Affinity Health products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. That's A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y HealthProducts.com. Or call in your orders at 877-888-7126. That's 1-877-888-7126. Trust your health to the makers of Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. Affinity Health Products, the finest and most innovative natural health products available.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download, direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
We have Jerome Clark, author of UFO Encyclopedia, other works, millions of articles and stuff like that, covering the UFO scene for many, many years. And we're discussing UFO researchers who sort of discredit themselves because they lie about their credentials, their experience, their background, things like that. And you were about to say something else in response to Chris's remarks, Jerry. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, you know, I think that it's probably true that Hebrono has really done some very good work, some good investigation and research work. But as Chris said, you know, even the good that he's done is lost by, you know, a bonehead decision to inflate your credentials. There's just no way you're going to win on that one.
No. Well, ain't that the truth?
I remember that he wrote a book with Alan Hynek. In fact, I think it was the last book with Alan's name on the cover.
Night Siege.
Night Siege.
That was the first book I read by him.
Yeah. I didn't really know even that he was off on other areas, you know, into the paranormal and so on. I just really hadn't paid a lot of attention to him, to tell you the truth. You know, when you've been around as long as I have, you tend to focus on your own research projects, and the people you keep in touch with are, you know, old colleagues that you can trust, and you know them, and you know how they think, and you can exchange information and find, you know, the information trustworthy. People that you don't know kind of sort of fade off into the side because they're just not engaged in what, you know, what interests you or what you're doing.
Well, over the years in UFO research, have you met any reasonable number of people who played that game, lied about their credentials?
Oh, I'm sure there have been some. Yeah, they just don't come to mind. It just hasn't really, you know, affected my life and my focus, and the people that I know and trust don't do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, I think that Stan Friedman is a guy who's played it right that way. He, you know, has genuine educational and professional credentials that precede his life in ufology, and he's never lied about them. And I think
he's very, very quick to correct people when they call him doctor. He says, I'm no doctor.
Exactly.
I don't have a PhD. Yeah.
Stan understands that you know, you have to play that straight because your critics and your opponents are going to try to discredit you if you're lying about anything.
Right.
So you always have to tell the truth. It's sort of like what you know, Mark Twain famously said, that he didn't lie because it forced him to remember too many things. And
yeah.
It's just easier to be honest. It's just, you know, if you're out there and you're making controversial claims, as anybody in ufology is by definition, you know, you better have your life in order, because otherwise there are people going to go rummaging through it to hurt you. And I've never made a secret of the fact that I'm a college dropout. You know, I don't have any degrees. And
well, so
have
the Bill Gates and Steve Jobs, were both college dropouts. It didn't hurt them any.
Yeah, there are a few of us out there managed to do something nonetheless.
So it's possible to survive that way. And you hire college graduates to do the heavy lifting.
Exactly. Yeah, I underpay them, but keep them happy.
Exactly. That's how you do it. You know, you have a few $1 billion. You know, and you hire those college graduates, and there you go. Now,
yeah, but look at what's going on in society right now. I mean, how many kids are graduating, you know, with 20 years of debt facing them in the face, and they can't get a job at Burger King with a degree? It's really sad.
Yeah, my daughter has a degree in philosophy from the University of Wisconsin. In fact, an advanced degree in philosophy, and she's worked in retail clothing for years, and is glad to have the job.
Exactly. My roommate from college was a philosophy major. He couldn't get a job in his, you know, his field of passion and expertise to save his life. He had to go back and get reeducated and become a counselor, so actually helping people, substance abuse counselors. So.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, I was an English major in college, and that did help me learn how to write. And it did give me an appreciation for reading and literature and all those things, which actually served me well even in my little career in ufology and fortyism.
Right.
So let's just look at that more in UFO field about people's reactions. Now, you're trying to look good, I guess, obviously, in the UFO field for skeptics. You want to say, look, we're responsible people. We're trying to present evidence about something that we don't understand. At the same time,
I don't care about skeptics, actually. That they have their minds made up that nothing that you're going to do is going to change their ideology and their task to discredit the field, the people who are in it, the whole idea of extraordinary phenomena out there. I don't care about them. To the extent that I care about them, I care that I don't give them something that they can use to discredit me. But beyond that, I'm addressing serious colleagues and intelligent, open-minded people outside our little world. And I think that I have succeeded in doing that just from my life experience, that the people I intend to address are receptive to what I'm saying. And they consider me trustworthy. And that's really what I want to do. But dealing with skeptics, you know, I'll be 65 years old next month, and I just don't have time for that crap anymore.
At this point, you're too old to put up with that nonsense.
I spent a lot of time battling with the bunkers, you know, with Phil Klass and you know, his ilk. And it's just a waste of time.
Speaking of the debunkers, do we have anybody today of the caliber of Phil Klass to contend with?
No.
I'm not talking about Bill Nye, the Silence Guy.
No. These guys are just, you know, kind of bubblegum types. No, Klass was really, so to speak, in a class of his own. This was a guy who really knew the subject. And he really did, you know, do research and investigation. I mean, it was hardly objective, but it was genuine inquiry. He was trying to find answers that suited him. And when you dealt with Phil Klass, you were dealing with somebody who knew what he was talking about. And he would look for, you know, mistakes and errors and investigation. And in that sense, he was good for people because it forced them to, you know, clean up their act and play their best game. And I didn't particularly like Klass. I knew him for many years. He and I had a voluminous correspondence. I don't think that he was a good guy, but I actually think that I had a certain grudging respect for his knowledge and his energy. And I think that, as I say, he forced us to be our best because of the warrant he was going to get us.
He was sure a pit bull.
Thank goodness he never
knew who I was. I walked up at the 98 MUFON symposium in Denver, and he was kind of trudging down the hallway and with his walker, and I put my arm around him and said, "How are you doing, you old bulldog?" And he looked at me like, "Do I know you?" And I said, "No, and that's a good thing."
It's a good thing that we're talking to Jerome Clark this week with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out, iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com. For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
OpticsPlanet.com is where discerning gun owners and outdoorsmen go to gear up. OpticsPlanet has the best selection of rifle scopes, red dots, night vision, holsters, bags, and tactical gear on the planet. With always low prices, free shipping on most orders, and expert customer service. Go to OpticsPlanet.com/GCN to get a free gift with purchase. That's OpticsPlanet.com/GCN or call 800-332-OPTICS, 800-332-6784.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Right now, for the month of October 2011, Freeze-Dry Guy is letting their customers get first dibs on the meat bucket special. That's roasted chicken, Southwest-style chicken, teriyaki-style chicken, stroganoff-style beef, cheesy ground beef, and savory roasted ground beef. Just add hot water and enjoy. Portable, easy, convenient. Real meat, real good. Supplies won't last with this special offer. Order today to beef up your freeze-dried meat supply. You'll even get $20 back in survival bucks or loyalty dollars when you beat the rush and order our freeze-dried meat buckets. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned in to the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
Jerome Clark is our guest. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast as we continue. We started talking about our perceptions of life and death, and then UFOs, about those who have discredited the field by dint of the fact that they mislead us on their credentials, about the skeptics, and about we don't have the informed skeptics anymore, we have the dismissive ones. What about these controversies that show up occasionally, and I think of the tabloid journalism around the attacks of two well-known abduction researchers, one of whom is no longer with us? What are your feelings when things like that happen?
Well, let me put it this way. I have a couple of ex-wives walking the world.
Don't we all?
I'm just glad that they go on with their lives as I go on with mine. We don't bother each other.
Yeah.
And I think that's what this is about. And it's really unfortunate. And it was unfortunate that Buzz Hopkins, who was a seriously ill man, had to endure that in the last year or two of his life.
Yeah,
but
was a bad time.
My friend of mine was a good guy.
Well, the thing is also, which is so unfortunate, is sane people can disagree.
Absolutely.
About research and methodology, and whether or not someone like a Bud Hopkins or a David Jacobs are totally wrong in everything they did. Their approach was wrong. It doesn't matter. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying if it were true that they were totally wrong, that doesn't mean anything, because in the end, let's discuss it, let's try to deal with it. But in terms of abduction research, looking now, you know, post Bud Hopkins era, what do we do to discover what's going on?
Well, I think that in terms of ufology, I think that we have been in a post-abduction era for some time now. You know, I think the heyday of the abduction phenomenon. I think that we've entered a kind of post-abduction era in ufology. The era of abductions was in the 1980s, maybe the early 1990s. And I think that we've kind of gone beyond that. That doesn't mean that we solved the mystery of what this phenomenon, which seems real enough, at least on an experiential level, is about. But I think that there's no longer the obsession with abductions. I don't think there are as many abduction reports as there used to be. It's still a puzzle. Over time, I came to disagree with the conclusions that Bud had reached, but I still thought that Bud really had found something genuinely puzzling and very strange. It's just that I tended to believe that probably the cause was something other than, you know, literal extraterrestrial kidnappings. But I did respect Bud's work. I did respect his conclusions, even though I didn't agree with him. I mean, his conclusions were arguable. But I think that there are other interpretations possible.
Well, he sure did help a lot of people, that's for sure. And you can never underestimate the importance that he played in many people's lives. And as you pointed out, Jerry, he really was a really sweet, funny, engaging man, and just a wonderful light. And you know, you just can't put, you know, value on how much help he provided people.
The day he died, I got work early in the morning, and I was just shaking all day. And I don't think that I've taken the death of a colleague that hard, maybe since Dick Hall a couple of years ago. Dick was also a good friend of mine. But these were two giants, and Bud was extremely good to people. These were suffering people. And he found ways to bring them back into the world and find a way to live. And, you know, I think that, you know, he was an investigator, but in a way he was also a healer.
Yeah.
And I think that history will be kind to Bud Hopkins.
Yeah. Well, I think anybody that gets involved, you know, out in the field working directly with experiencers at some point realizes that they are providing I've often equated myself at times as almost like a paranormal shrink, because people generally don't really have any recourse. They can maybe talk with their family members or close friends, but a lot of these issues, you just can't take them to someone you don't know that well and discuss them. And I found that quite a number of people that I've dealt with personally really appreciated that they could actually tell somebody what they felt they were going through with no fear of ridicule and no fear of judgment. And it's that objectivity that you really need to fine-tune as someone that goes out in the field that I think really then becomes a very, very helpful element in some of these people's lives. And Bud was the master at that.
Yes, that's well said. I think that investigators, if they're decent or sensitive people at all, find that they also have a human responsibility, you know, beyond the responsibility of the investigator and the researcher. I think that we really need to think more about that. For example, I watch the way perfectly reasonable, normal, decent people come forward with a story, and then I watch them being savaged, even in the allegedly pro-UFO literature. I think of people like Travis Walton or Jesse Marcel, people like that who are just ripped to pieces, and I think that is really wrong.
Yeah.
I remember one time going through a huge file that NICAP had compiled on its investigation of the West Virginia contactee, Woody Durenberger. And there was a guy who was a psychiatrist who got peripherally involved in this complicated episode. And the NICAP investigator had gone into this peripheral figure's personal life and even somehow had gotten his credit report and all this really deeply private and irrelevant stuff was in the file. And I thought, that's going way too far.
Well, I've never quite felt the need to do that, although I have checked into a few ranches that I suspected of insurance fraud for reporting livestock mutilated, but other than that, yeah, it's, you know.
I mean, I think that's reasonable, but this guy, if you read his story, it was clear that this mental health professional had himself some kind of nervous breakdown, and that's where his story of channeling aliens came from. It wasn't because he was lying. It was that he got so obsessed with Woody Dernberger that his own, you know, kind of mental, yeah, a kind of mental breakdown. And it wasn't necessary to dig into his personal life.
Yeah. You know, that's, there's some lines that you just don't need to cross. There's just no, there's no point to it.
Exactly.
But isn't that part and parcel of the way our society works now, where we don't just want to know about who and what a person is, we have to know about all their personal details, the deep, dark, and ugly details of their lives, and everybody has something that they'd like to live down.
Exactly. I think there's this really sick compulsion just to destroy people. And,
yeah.
But, you know, you see it in the ufology, and, you know, and, yeah, these are people. When they come to us, and most of them aren't lying, most of them aren't crazy, they deserve, you know, our trust. They deserve to be treated decently. And unless you have some reason to believe that they're involved in some scam, and that happens sometimes, not often, you know, you treat them as decently and as considerately as possible. And you don't expose them to ridicule and personal devastation, because that's really what they're trying to escape.
What makes it difficult here is, of course, if you disagree with somebody, and this is something that I think a lot of this we see on the Internet, you disagree with somebody, don't just say, here's why I disagree with you. You demonize them. You look for skeletons in their closet. You exploit it. You make a little thing into a big thing. Speaking of little things and big things, about big things, we talk about Jerry Clark and his work in the UFO field. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, separating signal from noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt.
Hey neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein. All other whey protein powders are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein powder ever produced. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Question: when the next disaster strikes, will you be ready? Answer: yes. If you have top quality survival gear from the survivalzone.com, these days it's wise to keep a survival kit in your vehicle, home, and office. The survivalzone.com specializes in ready-to-go wilderness, 72-hour and compact survival kits, plus freeze-dried and dehydrated food, MREs, stun guns, non-hybrid seeds, and much more. Call 603-838-5933 to be prepared with the survivalzone.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Jerome Clark joins us, UFO historian. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast, and we're exploring the UFO field, and not just the cases and the stuff that we all hear about, but why we are so obsessed with the personalities. And how have you dealt with that over the years?
Well, I had a strange experience on UFO updates email list recently, where a British skeptic that I've known for a long time and sparred with, but I always thought in you know, basically a friendly fashion, it just became clear to me at some point that he thought that he was right not just on the facts, but on the morality of it, that he was morally superior to people who disagree with him. Now, I don't find that that's the case. I can disagree with people and think that they're perfectly decent people, and this is not personal. And most of these arguments aren't personal. I mean, the UFO phenomenon is incredibly complicated and controversial, and people are going to have different opinions about it. And all of those differing opinions aren't unreasonable. The reasonable people can look at this and come to different kinds of reasonable conclusions. And that this doesn't speak to you as a moral human being. It just speaks to that particular part of the UFO phenomenon that you think defines it. And that's why people disagree, because they focus on A or B, and somebody else is focusing on C or D. And there's plenty there. You know, there's just, you know, there's a lot to find there. And opinions differ because people differ on what's important there. What is defining about UFO data? But it has nothing to do with their character.
Well, I guess the concern about someone's character is if they're defrauding you. If they're stealing your money, if they're lying about what they experience, I guess you are concerned about the flaws in their character. But if somebody just has a claim that you may disagree with, it doesn't mean they're a bad person. And I think even in our politics, it's like that these days.
Yes. You know, there's people in this field, because of their little narrow focus, tend to think that what goes on in ufology is unique. In fact, it's just very typical human behavior that plays out all across the spectrum of human behavior. You know, the feuds, the intolerance, the craziness, the occasional dishonesty, and just the simple, you know, honest difference of opinion. That's all human. Ufologists, if nothing else, are human beings, acting like human beings.
And they just happen to be in, say, the wrong place or the right place at the right time, and that's it.
Well, it's like, you know, it's like the three of us. You know, we're here just through circumstance. When we were young and impressionable, we saw something or we read a book or, you know. So here we are, you know, many years later in this, you know, this strange little place.
Just a couple of old codgers. And, of course, Chris, who's the young person in our group. So two old men, one very young man, just kind of talking about what's going on.
Right.
And maybe we
it could have all been different.
Yeah, isn't that interesting about the differences, about the fact that on the long haul, if several things didn't happen, to me, I would maybe never have been involved in UFO research. If my brother hadn't left a copy of a book by Major Donald Kehoe, Flying Saucers from Outer Space, on his living room coffee table, maybe I wouldn't have become interested. It's as simple as that.
I hadn't joined the science fiction book club in 1957 and gotten Ed Ruppelt's report on unidentified flying objects. And this was a subject that I had given no thought to whatsoever before. But if I had read my first UFO book had been George Adamski's Flying Saucers Have Landed, even at that young and tender age, I would have seen this as ridiculous and silly. And if I had read Adamski first, I would have just written the whole subject off and gone on to whatever I was going to do if I hadn't read Ruppelt first.
Do you think that you would have chosen a different profession? I mean, not just writing about UFOs, but all the other things you did in your life, writing music.
I think that I probably would have become an academic historian if I hadn't discovered UFOs. That's really my major interest in life, along with roots music, which I'm fairly expert on at this point in my life, but I read mostly history, and that's always interested me. And in fact, I was able to combine my interest in history with my interest in ufology. Encyclopedia series was about, it's just a great big, you know, historical survey.
Well, that's an interesting thing, too, looking at your historical perspective, and this is one of the reasons why we'd like to bring you on. Looking at the changes in the UFO mystery and UFO research, now, I think today, and now you can disagree with me all you want, but I see sometimes we're playing out the same scenario as the 1950s, where Major Donald Kehoe was talking about the silence group, the government knows the secret, let's have what he would, you know, have called his version of disclosure. So now we seek disclosure all over again. Is that history repeating itself? People forgetting the lessons of history? What?
I think that what's happening in ufology today is pretty much all of UFO history is being replayed right now. That every strain that is part of the UFO controversy over the decades is out there now. There are people who are focused on nuts and bolts and the extraterrestrial hypothesis. There are people for the paranormal. There are the new age types. There are people obsessed with government secrecy and, alleged knowledge of crash disks and so on. All these things are themes that have played out in the field. I think the one difference is that by now there actually is, you know, a small but impressive library of actual, you know, scholarly work and analysis. And although most of what's published about UFOs and anomalies is still flawed at best, there really are good books out there. There are good papers. And there are good people. And that's what will last. The rest of it is just kind of extraneous. It's just a social movement playing itself out. But the real scholarship, the real research will stand. And that's what people will be looking at, you know, 50 years from now, 100 years from now.
Well, let's just take a look at that. As far as the social aspect, why is it that people get attracted to UFOs? Because of the mystery, the lure of maybe coming up with E.T., meeting E.T.?
Well, I think the subject is just inherently interesting. You know, mysteries of any kind are interesting. And this is a mystery that seems particularly impenetrable. And, you know, people get into it and they think, yeah, I'm going to have this solved. Nobody else can solve it, but I'm going to solve it. And by the time they realize they're not going to solve it, they're hooked. They're either hooked or they're just giving up in frustration. Now, Gene, you know, over the years, all the people we've seen come in the door and go out. And there are a few of us who have remained in the building. But we are resigned to, we're not going to know the answer. In my own head, I have found answers that I can live with. But, you know, I also know that I could be wrong. But I can live with that.
Now, as far as the social aspect, what's their purpose? What's their reason?
Well, I think it just, you know, people, I don't know. I can't read people's minds. I mean, I just think that it's just a mystery. Basically, that's what drives people. And either they can live with mystery or they can't. If they can live with mystery, if they can live with uncertainty and ambiguity, they will stay interested. If they can't, they will go elsewhere, maybe to some place where they are more likely to get an answer. But I think that with the UFO phenomenon, we're dealing with something that is beyond current knowledge. And you know that you're going to get only so far. You're not going to get further. And you're going to see the thing play itself over and over and over again to the point of monotony. I mean, I was reading something that I think Roger Marsh of MUFON wrote the other day. He said that most UFO reports are still pretty boring. That just struck me. But yeah, a lot of this by now is boring. We've just seen it replay itself continually. Doesn't mean we understand it, but we understand how it happens, how it works. I think that the ufology has established that much, that we know how this thing works. We don't know what it is, but we know how it works.
Well, speaking of knowing how things work, this is how this works. You're listening to the Paracast with Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien. If you have a comment or a question, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. Our guest is UFO historian Jerome Clark. We're trying to set things in perspective so you'll understand where we are, how we got here, and maybe where we're going. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, and investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.